Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few mates talk about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club, don't mind if I do.
Wow, that sounded really suggestive.
All right, cool. Mm. I see Jamie's got the energy tonight.
I filled with Maggie's haggis lasagna.
Yeah. No.
Which she insisted we take a picture of to put on the socials.
First thing and it's up on Instagram now.
Is it up on Instagram now? Yeah. So listeners, go on, first of all, before you listen to this episode, go on Instagram and have look at a picture of the haggis lasagna I just made, and then just imagine how full we are right now.
We just also reading for the podcast. The picture.
It is. It's like preliminary reading, so you've got to understand how full we are by looking. Also, tell us what you think about the haggis lasagna. Does it look like the best lasagna you've ever seen in your life? It
also, if you can see the lasagna over our absolutely bogging oven.
Shut up! Shut up! I didn't. James Tate turned up half an hour early tonight, so I didn't have time to clean the top of my oven. And Kutch tried to take a picture of it along with my lasagna, and I wouldn't let him.
Oh wait, so that's not the one that I was meant to put up.
Mags was trying to cover her top.
She tried to cover her
I would have physically laid over the top if it wasn't for the fact that the hobs were still hot. I would have burnt my tits.
Mrs. Doubtfire style.
Absolutely. 100% Mrs. Doubtfire.
She was thinking of the future of getting these microwave meals of lasagna that's made with haggis. She was like, I need to get the right photo now. This is my time.
It was delicious, but it's reminded me of like the... was it the first time you were on the podcast where you had to bake a cake to reset the room? Now you have
time.
To make a lasagna.
I have to make it. No.
Stepping up the game.
Oh, well, that was the time he told me all that the new rule was whoever hosted had to bake cakes. Yeah. So I invited you into my house and I baked a cake.
Oh, yeah, you fantastic did. Cake. Yeah.
And then the next time you came round to do the podcast, nobody baked a cake. Yeah.
Upset about that. I know. Still.
However, your lasagna was banging. Haggis lasagna, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, it's the way forward.
I am available for small catering jobs, small weddings, bar mitzvahs, that kind of thing.
You are a woman with a van.
I am.
A woman
we
with
are
a van.
Men with van.
You are.
Me and Craig. Except we've only got one van. But like another one just so we can be men with van. Men with
van. You need to get that copyrighted now so you can use it.
I'm pretty sure somebody is using it.
Yeah. It's a peep show classic, men with van.
So, we're here. We'll just jump into this, let's do it.
Yeah.
So, on the mics with my good self, Kutch, tonight is, guess what, folks? I haven't written anything again.
Come to Kutchy's one man.
Improv show.
Improv, I forgot the word show. Good I am at improv.
I've got...
You forgot the word for improv.
Yeah.
A true improv artist with improv, a word for improv.
The best improv man here, it's Jamie.
Hello.
And across from him is our haggis cooking guest. It's Max. Guest?
Hello.
Host?
I'm the host, yeah. You're in the bloody house.
Aye.
Be polite.
Guest. And across from her, it's James.
Hello.
No jokes this week.
Are you being nice to me this week, are you? Or is this just like lulling me into a sense of security so you can just slam me?
Just
down?
Like yes. You, damn it. Yes.
Oh dear. Yeah.
I am really glad though that the listeners can't smell us right now because I think I've just realised that there's a bowl of garlic bread
on
the table.
Yeah.
Yes, James, get stuck in the garlic bread. I can like basically taste the smell of garlic in the room because we're fucking
pungent,
stinking.
Absolutely pungent. But hey, you've got to have garlic bread with lasagna. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to. Yep. It's the law.
It is the law.
As I revealed, it was punishable by death in some countries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll let you guess which ones.
I don't know.
Italy.
So this week has been a bit shit news wise, hasn't it?
It's been pretty horrific.
Today's been really fucking bad.
We're recording it on the day of the news has come out about we woke up to the news in Christchurch about the shooting in New Zealand. And we're not going to talk about that because we don't really think it's appropriate, but yeah. We've all got friends and family and listeners in New Zealand, and we're thinking about everybody at the moment.
And there's only one type of terrorist in this world, and they're cunts. Yeah. That's it.
They're all cunts.
That's it. So, fuck them, but as I say, everything that's gone on in New Zealand, hearts out to yous, and that's that.
It also covers us because the chances of us saying something we'd regret would go through the roof on that topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sort of stuff we usually say.
Some heavy subjects. Yeah.
So let's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also fucking Brexit. I mean, that's just a bag of shit, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just a pantomime at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah. Jamie, do you want to give us our Brexit news this week?
Okay. Brexit update. It's all a fucking circus.
That'll do.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're
going Except I would just like to point out that you are not allowed to use animals in circuses in Scotland anymore. Oh. So
well, that's because it's you have to use politicians.
You have to use politicians. We could just replace all our animals with the Tory cabinet.
Balance that ball in your fucking nose, or I'll whip you. Yeah.
Got an image.
Grayling, listen to me, you cunt.
Liam Fox. Yeah.
Obviously dressed as a fox.
With a beach ball on his nose. So we're going to try and be a bit more lighthearted and go a bit local.
This is the thing. No matter how shit the world is, there's always good local news stories. Like, there's always something that will cheer you up in the local news. So we're going to talk about the highlights of our local news week instead of... I'm going to ignore all the bollocks that's going on in the world.
I love how one of our local news stories is local, but not local at the same time.
Oh, it's local enough for us. Like, it's absolute gold.
Yeah.
Are you wanting to bring us into this, Mags?
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the article.
I think it does. You know, it does.
Classic.
Not to lead into it too much, but I think this does help the case of, like, independence from Fife as a separate nation from Scotland.
So, this was my absolute... I don't know if I mentioned before, but part of my job involves doing kind of local news roundups and things. And this is my favourite local news story I've read, not just this week, but for quite a while. It's from The Courier on Thursday, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And the headline is, "Fan swears Fife accent is cause of complaints." And it's a guy who... He's from the KDY originally. But he's living in Bristol now, and he's a Bristol City season holder. And Bristol City have notified him that if he doesn't stop swearing, they're going to revoke his season ticket. They've already moved seats.
Really?
Yeah. So they've already made him move seats within the ground. And now they're saying, you're still swearing and being aggressive, and we're still getting complaints about you. And if you don't stop, we're going to revoke your season ticket. But he says it's discrimination because other people around him swear. But he just, they hear him more. Because he's got a Fife accent.
They're singling him out.
And also that he's misunderstood, and that his Fife accent makes him sound more aggressive than he actually is.
Hey, just kick the ball, you cunt. Hey, cunt face. Would you kick the ball?
What I will say is, like, I don't think the issue is that he's from Fife. I think the issue is that he's from Kirkcaldy. Established as well. No.
I was going to say, I was like, our football ground's very different down south because, you know, I've only been to a couple of football games in my life, like proper football games.
I don't know. You can imagine the term.
But you'd imagine it'll be like family friendly stand. Yeah. And then there'll be like stands.
So that's what they have at East End Park, is there's a family stand. Yeah, and you swear, if you're in the Norrie McCarthy and you're swearing, you will get kicked out and you'll get your season ticket revoked. If you want to swear, you go in the Northwest.
Yeah.
You can say whatever the hell you like, as long as it's not racist.
Yeah.
The fans are getting very good at self policing. So the last football game I was at, somebody made a racist comment
and everybody booed.
The other fans turned around and started booing the fan, so they're getting really good at that.
That's good.
But you're right. It's like there's places where you can swear. Who was it? Somebody, when I shared this in the group chat, somebody said, you know, you could just stop swearing.
That was me.
That was Kutch. Kutch, you've clearly never been to a football match.
I have been, but it was like there is one route to it, is just stop swearing.
No, It's impossible to not swear at a football match. It's kind of why people go to the football.
It is possible.
So my mum is a 68-year-old Jehovah's Witness, and she basically goes to the football to swear. Like, she gets so angry and sweary, and it's the only socially acceptable place for her to swear, and it gets her angry.
I've heard your mum swear, and it is a beautiful thing.
Exactly. She gets her anger out and stuff. So... yeah,
that's why I play games, to be honest. But I don't use the mic anymore, so I'm just going, "What the fuck are you doing, you fucking idiot?" But I don't do it with mic because I don't want to be a toxic arsehole. But yeah, but I'm still getting it out.
Do we want to hear? So the guy is called Barry Innes, and there's a wee interview with him in the Courier. Do we want to hear what Barry Innes said?
It does sound like he's like from the KPI.
Barry. I think it's because I'm Scottish, so it seems aggressive. It stands out a bit, eh? I might swear on the odd occasion, eh? But But to say it's repeated is rubbish, eh? The people behind me are louder than me, and my friends at the game will shout and swear. But I have tried not to, but it just slips out, eh? And it stands out a bit more because I'm Scottish. So, that was his interview.
The added A's were fucking perfect.
I'll let you finish it off actually.
No, that's the interview with him. Then they go on to speak to a spokesperson from the club who said that they were in accordance with Regulation 9 of the English Football League's football ground regulations. The use of threatening behaviour, foul or abusive language is strictly forbidden.
I don't know. I can imagine, though, that like... probably the term "you fucking cunt" gets used a lot, and it's that term up here that is maybe not as
well. I experienced this like down at Glastonbury.
Yeah,
so I swear a lot anyway. But me, after I've had a few drinks, I swear a lot.
Yeah,
and so
we're all natural swearers.
Yeah, basically pissed from most of Glastonbury. Mm-hmm. And one of Robbie's friends turned to me at one point, very stubborn, went, "You like to swear a lot, don't you, Jamie?" And I was like, yes, I do. Yes. And it was like racial stereotyping because they were soft southerners. It was like, but I did wonder when you said Bristol, because it is, that's getting towards that soft southern territory, Bristol. Yeah. It's but I imagine West football country. Matches are different, though.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's a football match.
I do think, like, yeah, I can hear anybody from Fife down, you know, a football game. And, like, you know, like you say, there is swearing. And if they are swearing, it's going to be coarse. Like, really coarse. And, and there might be others swearing, but I can just imagine the chain of swearing is probably, as I say, what comes across as threatening. Yeah. Yeah. And it's the threatening part that will be the whole difference between...
the Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Do you think the Fife accent in particular is aggressive sounding?
Hey, likey.
I don't think it's aggressive.
The colloquialism of it, though, will make it sound that way.
I think it's West.
There's something that I would say is, like, see, when reading that there was something that they don't take into account, and I bet you it has happened. There's the reason why there's a lot of commas in that article when he's speaking. Is when they're not using commas, he's going, fucking...
fucking told me to stop fucking swearing, eh? And I was like, I'm no fucking swearing, you cunt.
You sound like Kutch at the beginning of a segment. you could just stop fucking swearing.
But that's sort of like people like Fife. We're quite bad for it. We're like, folk are quite bad for starting sentences going, I fucking ken this fucking.
Yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
Like they always have like a middle. The start of sentence is fucking. Mid sentence they'll say fucking, and at the end of the sentence somehow they'll say fucking.
Well, that's what we do. You use fuck as a punctuation. This makes me think
of my brother's, my father's possibly favourite moment at a football match ever. It was back over from New Zealand at one point, and we went to a football match, and we were in Easton Park, and a fan alongside us. Actually, it was a really terrible game, and it was dragging on, and a guy stood up out of his seat and shouted, "Fucking boo!" And he still talks about it. A boo wasn't enough. It had to be a fucking boo.
that is beautiful.
It sums up Fife.
Just on a related note, and I can't remember if this was a real story or if it was a made up one for like News Thumper or something like that. I think it was real. I'm probably, I can't look up just now, unfortunately, but it was that Scotland was home to the best swearers in the world. Like, If I could equally...
How are they judging the best player?
Well, I can't remember. This is
I can absolutely believe it.
I think it was shared in the Beagle group. Yeah, but it sounds... It sounds legit. It sounds it could be real, yeah. But also sounds like one of these fake headlines as well.
So do they point out like a graph? Like they have like one side that's the quality of the swearing, and the other side is the quantity of swearing. And does it
you got to be creative with it as well? But don't get me wrong. Just standard swearing can be great, like fucking boo.
Yeah,
but that's simple but very creative. As well. Beautiful.
It's like,
beautiful.
But what other nations? I mean, I'm sort of thinking the French must be pretty good at swearing.
Irish are pretty good.
Yeah. Irish,
the French,
and the Italians maybe.
Yeah.
Then, they just like flick their chins. They do this kind of like. Italians swear purely by hand gesture.
By gesture,
which is okay at the football, I suppose.
You could say German, but if you get a German person angry, every word they say sounds like a swear word. So.
Did you see the Volkswagen guy got in trouble? He got in trouble for making EBIT, earnings after. It's like amortization and all that.
Something to do with tax?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Like,
instead of saying Abbott McFry, he said EBIT makes Mert Fry, like work makes you free. The Volkswagen, of course, we're associated pretty heavily with the Nazi party.
Yeah.
And he said,
I can't remember the exact
Is it EBIDT? You know what I mean?
Macht Fry.
But he said it at an internal thing, but it still got out, but it's like, holy shit. No, actually, when I read it, I was like, that's actually pretty funny. I quite like the pun, but if you're ahead of Volkswagen and you can't release
that's
something you'd say to your mates. That isn't like you'd say at work, you know. To like,
that's right. Double check who you're messaging before you send
I would just like to ask the listeners out there to send us their favourite examples of Scottish swearing.
Yeah.
Because, like, this, I think.
And if you've ever been told that you're going to get evacuated from a football ground.
Yeah, if you've ever been told your accent, have you ever been told your accent is aggressive? I would like just like to say, so I mentioned this before, my brother lives in New Zealand and I was out there for a wee while and I worked in a pub and he used to come in a lot and we did get a complaint. My boss came to speak to me one day because he was like, the regulars are complaining about you and your brother arguing again. And I was like, we're not arguing. He was like, the guys were saying that you were having a big fight in the pub. And I was like, no, we didn't fall out or whatever. Realised we've been talking about politics all afternoon. And the whole pub thought we were having a massive fallout. And it was like, no, that's just a conversation. That's the volume we speak at. And that's us being nice to each other. So you want to see us when we're actually having a fight. So it has happened to me before. People have thought I was aggressive when I wasn't. Have other people got examples? Let us know. And let us know your favourite swearing.
What I will say as well is, like, have you guys ever seen Billy Connolly talk about the word fuck?
Yeah.
I've never seen a swear word explained so eloquently in all my life.
Yeah, it's a great,
so good.
Great sketch.
Mm. But then he is like one of the top swearers as well, isn't he? Absolutely.
Mm. One of my favourite swearers.
So, what other... I believe Jamie's got a favourite local news story from the week as well.
I do. It might be lacking in details, listeners, because my 4G isn't working in Maggie's house. But basically...
Do you want the Wi-Fi?
I already said my phone screen's fucked, so I probably won't be able to
tap it.
Basically, can't work my phone, but I just keep it anyway.
Okay.
So, basically, there was an attack on... I'm not meaning to compare this to Christchurch. I'm just saying there was an attack on Muslims here.
Yeah.
And it was in Recife. And what happened was a guy put a mask on, filmed himself, getting off his bike, then throwing, I believe it was something on fire, like a Molotov cocktail or something.
Something like that, yeah.
At the Shalimar in Recife.
Claiming the Shalimar.
Shalimar, great for kebabs. Used to buy vodka there when I was underage.
all your cheap booze, kebabs, fucking banging calzones as well.
The Shalimar was our stop on the way to yard parties. Go to the Shalimar first, get a cheeky bottle of vodka to stick in your drinks as well.
Absolutely. Being a Recithian, like the Shalimar's just been a...
Being a what?
A Recithian.
A Recithian.
That is literally the first time I've ever heard that word
used. Never heard.
Sounds like you're saying recidivist, like you're going back to prison.
Yeah. or a Slytherin. It's like some kind of like lizard overlord.
Or
Donald.
Or a Scythian. A person.
A Scythian.
Yeah.
Fuck off. That is not true. You've just made that up.
What happened?
Just made that up.
That sounds like a fucking house in Harry Potter.
Recidivist.
I have lived for the most part of my nearly 34 years of my life in West Fife, and I have never once heard anybody.
Yeah, you were really far in West Fife, though. You were pretty much like, you know, Falkirk.
We were Garveys. We're Kincardine or Garveys, but I'm not from Kincardine.
But this guy's getting done, and his lawyer, he went on social media talking about all, like, kebab sales are like funding terrorists. Which I read it, I actually laughed. I was like, what the fuck? That's fucking mental. That is absolutely bizarre.
Insane.
And talking about, like, you know, usual racist Muslim tropes. And then, but kebabs fund terrorists was my favorite one. And then he put up another video of himself on social media with a mask under a different account, and they caught him because he then bragged about it, like, on his normal Facebook or something. And his defense lawyer claimed that he wasn't racist. And there was a great bit in the article where it's like, defense lawyer claims, and the prosecution said, he is clearly racist. He was also brandishing, like, a knife as well. But I don't know if he did that at the shop or on his social media video.
I still love the idea that kebabs fund terrorism.
Kebabs must be quite a good money-making industry as a whole. It's not connected like us or things like that, but you'd have to think, like, how much money gets spent on a Friday and Saturday night on kebabs? That's winning the freaking lottery.
Quickly looked up this story online, and every single one, so there's like several local media outlets have reported it, every single one of them, it uses the term racist teen in the headline. Definitely not a racist, but everybody's saying he's a racist teen.
To be fair, this is terrible, and it's a shit that...
Oh, that, Muslims, that has yeah, happened, g- yeah.
And it's, Muslims are getting targeted. Guy's obviously an idiot and horrific. But at the same time, the Shalimar will see a lot worse on a Saturday night than some fire. Apparently, just burnt some of the shutters a bit.
I think that's it. Yeah, it really did fuck all. The Shalimar's been there since... since we moved to Rosyth, and it will always be there.
I've been in some horrific states in the Shalimar myself. I can only imagine what the Shalimar's seen.
I mean,
if those walls could talk, that's seen some shit.
It really has. I mean, Christ, it's where like all the youth teams of Rosyth used to hang about. You couldn't go into the Shalimar on a Friday or Saturday night without some little naff turning around and going, "Excuse me, master, excuse me, could you buy me some?" No. that was always the thing, and like there was always fights and all sorts going out because, like, as I say, they would get drink from somewhere or whatever, and then they would start fighting. It'd always be outside the Shalimar.
It's just bizarre, isn't it?
Massive groups of them as well.
It's like he's doing his bit for the white nation by attacking the Shalimar.
Yeah, so can I just... I'm just reading the report in the Guri here. It is quite fantastic. First of all, so I'm going to read some choice quotes from this.
Oh, my God.
We're going to name him because he's a little cunt. Charles Johnson.
He's got a cunty name as well.
Charles Johnson wore a mask and waved a machete as he ranted about Muslims and claimed he had burned down a kebab shop. However, his mask proved pointless when he blurted out his home address after being challenged.
I forgot about that.
Told them his address. Also, another detail of the story, he tried to fight, he tried to pour a petrol bomb at it when the shutters were down. Yeah, everyone had gone home for the night. So it bounced off the shutters, created a fireball in the street, and then burnt itself out. And then a choice quote. Here we go. Later online, he said, he wrote this online, "I set a kebab shop on fire because halal food contributes a 2% tax." Doesn't say where the tax goes to or which government it is, but anyway, every kebab bought contributes to terrorist organisations.
Exactly 2%.
I know, I love that. Not only is it ridiculously decimated, he's managed to come up with a 2% levy. It's completely made up tax. It's made up racist tax. Has a 2% levy.
Oh, mate.
Anyway, his defence solicitor said, he says he doesn't have anything against individual Muslims. Sheriff Charles McNair responded, "That is what is said by just about every racist." He is clearly a racist.
There you go. Yes.
That's well done, Sheriff Charles McNair. Yeah.
In fairness, he's just a wee naff. That's all he is.
Yeah. But it's also this sort of right-wing culture that's it's easier to be a part of, and that's quite worrying. But
it is.
Someone would think, like, you know, be that invested in it that he thinks he's going to carry out his own thing, you
and
know,
then actually fails, and it kind of goes back to the was it Four Lines?
Well, I was just about to bring this in. Yeah. So this is actually Chris Morris is doing a new movie,
mm-hmm.
which is not originally. I thought it was going to be about specific terrorist things he talked about, which were funny. Like one story where people were going to blow up the Statue of Liberty, mm-hmm. I think it was, and they put explosives on their boat, and they went around the boat, and their boat sank, so it was too heavy. And then they got caught by police. It's true. I'm pretty sure it was a Statue of Liberty. It was somewhere in America anyway.
Yeah.
And stories like that. But it turns out he's not doing about one specific thing. He's doing it. It's based on 100 or more stories. And it's this idea about these really crap groups who the FBI come along and they need a bit of a news story, and some people need promotions, and they give them like between 50 to 250 grand of funding through a informant, and like sort of coax them into doing something bigger so that then they can arrest them. And apparently this is really common, and this is what his new film's about. It's like 100 sort of stories like that.
Wow.
But this is sort of like these groups who don't really know what they're doing and are just farcical, you know.
And I mean, the thing is that I suppose there's an element where you hope that groups like that do remain farcical and that they're not able to do anything. But also, I suppose the wider problem is that there's groups like that exist, you know, in the first place. And again, it's that, I think...
the internet has made it much easier to...
Well, I think Mark nailed it, and it was kind of my thoughts. My first thoughts while reading this morning is that it is the media and politicians with click articles that are just absolutely inciting all this, you know, all this anti-Muslim kind of hatred and you know, just for attention. That's all it is as well. It's for attention and for clicks, and this is what fucking happens.
Yeah,
you know,
there was stuff today, loads of people like Polly Toynbee articles and Jess Phillips articles from years all saying things like Islamophobia isn't real, or Islamophobia isn't, you can't equate it to anti-Semitism, and all these different things. It's like, you clearly can.
Yeah.
But
at a local level, we should laugh at it and tell people that they're cunts.
Oh, yeah, because it's so stupid. And
also, go and show some love to the Shalimar.
Yeah.
Go to your kebab shop, tell them how awesome their kebabs are, tell them you don't mind paying the 2% tax.
I bet this guy was totally against the pasty tax as well.
Oh,
what I really hate about him, he's inconsistent.
What's that funding?
Yeah, exactly. It's funding our... No.
So going from one teen who's an utter bossack to a big group of teens who are properly sound.
Absolutely.
That for a segue.
Okay, this is more a national story now. Local story, national story. A positive, good news story. The one good news story from this week.
Yeah. And again, from today. And you know what?
There is some fun irony in that.
It's
what's happening.
It's absolutely... It's brilliant.
Are you going to say what we're talking about? Because you're not actually saying
it. No, but I'm just...
Are you building up to it? Are you building up to what gives us hope for the future?
Yeah, is our young people.
Are you going to give a bit more detail about that? Otherwise, it just sounds like you're...
You breathed in. I thought you were about to go and say something more.
You're closing up to young people.
You sound like Michael Jackson doing a single.
We are the world. We have children.
It is a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, don't even... Remind me of that.
Yeah, that's a bit controversial at the moment.
That's what I was going for.
No, our young people in Scotland today striking from school, all part of the climate strikes.
Yeah.
And the scenes down at Holyrood today were amazing. Yeah.
It was honestly one of the biggest... I wasn't at Holyrood today, but it was looks like... I know people have been tweeting that it's the biggest protest I've ever seen outside Holyrood. Like, bigger than... independence referendum and like the marches.
Really?
Like it was the young... I saw an aerial photo, and the whole of the paved over area outside Parliament plus most of the grass in the area, which if you've been outside Parliament, it's a really big area. Yep. You could hardly see any space at all. It was all absolutely rammed full of kids.
You know what's quite almost poetic about it, though, is they did this climate protest, and the weather was fucking bananas.
Yeah.
The whole day. It's like, well, doesn't that just sum up the whole point quite nicely?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, all that... And the perfect set of circumstances on the day.
And you know what? They all still did it as well. They're getting rained on, getting, you know, howling winds and everything. And they were there. And, you know, it's their future. And do you know, like, in the run-up to this, we've had kids who are, you know, who've been striking outside of schools, who've been, you know, there with their placards and whatnot, and see the amount of red-faced fucking gammon that has been, like, in their faces and on Facebook and on Twitter with the whole, oh, they shouldn't be out of school, it's terrible that they're out of school, what are they doing? You know, it's just, like, there was one guy who had the line, it was like, I'm all up for them for them protesting, but can they not do it when they're not at school, like at the weekends? It's
then
like,
that's not a protest.
There's
then, is
no
it?
Fucking point to it. Yeah. The whole fucking point is to disrupt the system.
Yeah.
And if they're leaving school and teachers don't have anybody to teach, if they're then fucking walking in on Parliament, it's amazing.
I like the idea of kids.
You sound very excited.
You do.
I genuinely am, because it's wonderful
to
see.
It was a Michael Jackson song.
It's wonderful to see, because like, there is this idea that kids don't care, kids are lazy, kids don't, you know. And I think we've joked and we've said it, and you know what a great excuse to skive school, but fuck it, they proved that not only did they skive school, they actually went and done it. Did it. They marched, they went and stood outside Holyrood. It's what's needed. We need.
So the Eye is reporting that there were 18 different strikes just across Scotland. So people were doing it outside their local schools as well. Apparently there were some kids outside Inverkeithen. There's meant to be some kids outside Inverkeithen. Because I was maybe going to go down there, but locked myself out of the house today. And instead of protesting against climate change, had to drive a petrol car all the way to Edinburgh and back to my house. So I missed... Sorry, young but people. Thanks for defending our future. Meanwhile, I am going senile already. I'm walking myself out the house. But yeah, 18 locations. Actually, okay, it can't have been the biggest one. The photos obviously re-emphasise it, but the Eye's reporting 1,000 kids outside Parliament in Edinburgh and 1,000 kids in George Square in Glasgow as well.
So good.
George Square was really busy. Also, some fantastic placards as well. I did see some really good homemade placards. Just trying to find some pictures here of good ones. But yeah, I mean, I think it's like, so the attitude to have is like, this is our future. You're doing fuck all about it.
Mm.
Why? You know, I've seen a lot of people talk about, why would we, what's the point in studying when we're going to die? Like, it's our generation that's potentially going to face the existential crisis. The politicians who are making decisions now will be dead and gone in 30, 40, 50 years' time when the shit really hits the fan. But it's kids who are schooled today who are going to have to live with this. But so
again, here's something else that's great about this, is that they will have learned more today and then the last few weeks building up to this. Yeah. Than anything that they would have learned at school.
Part of the life
lessons as well. Networking, you know, that whole
organizing
thing.
Organising.
Yeah.
If this means more strikes in the future, I'm all for it.
And, I hope this is a building
it's
thing.
It's meant to be, so they're saying it's going to be like the organisers of the global strike, which again is kids, you know, it's school kids who've organised themselves, are wanting it to be a monthly thing until there's like serious action, serious things happen every month. On this, because I think that's been the real impact of this, is that you've been able to see, like, across 24 hours, different countries going out striking, you know, different, like, whole right across kind of, not just the English language speaking world, but across, you know, the whole of the world, kids going out on strike all together on the same day.
Do you know what the most beautiful thing would be to, and I know some have, but would be to see teachers fucking get on board as well.
So some have. So
some
Edinburgh,
have, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, some have, I know. But to see that across the board, you know, support your pupils.
Yeah. Edinburgh City Council came out and officially said that they would support any kids who wanted to go and protest were entitled mm-hmm. to do so as long as they had a letter from their parent or guardian. Mm-hmm. There was a few others that followed suit. I think Edinburgh was the only one. They passed an official resolution in the council. Yeah. Others issued advice saying people can go as long as they've got a letter for a parent or guardian. Mm-hmm. I mean, there will have been kids that will have taken advantage of it.
Absolutely.
I had a friend who messaged me the other day, said they were sitting on a bus and the kids behind them had said at one point, fuck climate change, I'm going to Subway. So I think there will have been some kids who did that.
Absolutely.
But there will have been others who will have really learned something.
They're talking about it.
Well, exactly.
I don't mind them just striking from school. That's fine as well.
But then to turn around for them to say fuck climate change, it means it's there. It's in the conscious. Yeah. You know, it's part of the lexicon. It's in the ether. And that's the point of this kind of stuff is to build that awareness, to build that, you know, that hype, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, like I know a couple of weeks ago I made the joke about how like we have the resources to make such sensible decisions, yet people are making the worst decisions. But this is almost the other way around of that, where like, you know, we're in the day and age where all this information about how the world is, knowledge about climate change, it's accessible, easily accessible, and these kids are making the most of it and using that information and doing something about
it. Organising in a worldwide sense.
Yeah, social media as well, like Facebook, Twitter, they're using that in the right way. You're using their powers for good, not evil.
Climate change is like the apocalypse for science, but we know it's definitely coming.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it isn't like, oh, the apocalypse will happen, you know.
Do you mean like a religious apocalypse?
Yeah, religious people have been saying for centuries, like
Armageddon.
People around Jesus' time were convinced the apocalypse was just about to happen. That's what Revelations was all about. Yeah. It wasn't meant to happen long before now.
Yeah.
And but now it's like, we've got this thing and we actually know the apocalypse is coming. Yeah. And it works in the same way as like apocalypse and those things as well. It's like the ultimate destination. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably going to go past the point of no return.
Very soon.
Very soon and we'll be fucked. Mm-hmm. But we can make it less worse.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
Yeah. We can try and extend it a little bit, push it out a little bit until we can figure a way to either live past it or live outside of it, whatever. But
just hope there's travellers here trying to fix it.
Yeah.
Slash.
Is that a Doctor Who reference?
No,
or something like
but it's sci-fi.
It's a sci-fi reference.
It's about gypsies. No. No. It's not. It's about. It's a sci-fi reference. Yeah.
Oh
my God.
So this did today, so the climate strike today though, and like the accusation that kids were just skiving did make me think about when we were at school. Like, first of all, I never skived to go on a protest, which I'm a bit ashamed about. Like, I skived school for all sorts of reasons, never skived to go on a protest. Would like to go back and do that.
They did the Iraq War one when I was at school, but I didn't.
That wasn't the Iraq War when we were at school.
Or maybe Afghan.
It was
the Iraq War protest when I was at uni in Glasgow. They were like, it's like 2004, 2005. Yeah, the Iraq War.
2005 rings a bell.
Yeah.
Because I did do it.
No, because there definitely were ones when you weren't in sixth year, though. There definitely was one in sixth year because I remember going to the open day at Dundee Uni and there was a big sit-in protest.
Oh, really?
For it. So,
I know, I didn't.
So it would have been the same year.
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, well, I basically skived all of 6 year, so I didn't go to that.
You weren't in sixth year at all, were you?
No, I just
skived.
I officially skived. I was just like, I don't need to be here. Why am I here? I'm just going to leave. So it was just one big long skive.
Yeah.
I did fill in the paperwork that made me leave officially, though. No, I was thinking that I think the best excuse that I had for Skype, well, I am ashamed. I never went on a protest. I did once Skype school with Lizzie to go to a restaurant opening. Well, there was a new restaurant. Do you remember, you know the place that's now Grill 48?
When
that first reopened as a restaurant when we were in school and it was called the Townhouse.
It
was really nice. Not that long opened. I had like double geography or something, could be fucked to go into it. Lizzie said to me that morning, do you want to go and check out this new restaurant? We'll just like take our, we'll take like our blazers and our school ties off and we'll just go out for lunch. And we did it. And she wrote me a letter to say, Margaret will not be in school this afternoon.
By that point, she would have been old enough to write you a letter.
Well, I think she just pretended she was my mum. I don't think she like pretended she was my guardian or anything like that. She pretended she was my mum and said, Margaret won't be in school today. I don't even think we gave an excuse. And then we went out for lunch. It's the most middle class story.
I was just going to say, and then Lizzie got out of school because she told Mr. Webster she was pregnant again.
Yeah. Well, was that not? She'd been skiving and he wanted to know why she'd been off so much.
Yeah.
She was like, pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
Again. I'm pregnant again. Yeah.
Wow.
That was quite. We were creative.
I still tell people that story because it's so fucking funny.
We were creative with our skiving.
Yeah. No, you know
I was more a skive a whole day sort of guy and just pretended I was ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then stayed home and listened to music and played computer games.
See, I was on the like other end bass. Where I would skive classes, but just be in art.
Well, that's because the art department at Fermon High encouraged people to skive other classes to go to art.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was just like, where are you off to next? English? Nah, you don't need to go there.
See, because we were out in the countryside, it wasn't... Like skiving and just staying at home was a bit rubbish because there was nothing there to do. It was quite good to get the free bus. Also, it was £2.20 return on the bus, which was very expensive. So you get the school bus into school, sign in, do a couple of periods, and then piss off. And then sometimes I'd head back and get the bus home again afterwards. Sometimes I'd stick around town. But you had to make use of the very good free bus into Dunfermline.
That makes a lot of sense.
Otherwise you had to pay.
Yeah.
So,
Whereas I used to pay for the service bus home.
There was a service
bus that came out. It was like 25p.
We used to get
school
tickets.
Bus was a fucking nightmare.
Like we used to get wee tickets that you could sign it and then get the details of it and just give it to the driver and you got a free bus home. So we had a mate that somehow got a hold of a shitload of them. so when we'd done that, we just filled them out. So we just got a free bus journey back home. So we'd take advantage of the free bus in. We'd do whatever, finish, if we're at school for the day, whatever, or we'd skive.
I remember getting
and then at the end of the day, we'd just use our ticket, and there you go. And then, like, all right, on you go.
Because if you needed to go home, like, because you were ill or something, and somebody couldn't pick you up, they gave you a free bus ticket.
School activities, we used to get them if you stayed late.
Yeah, that's right.
But they didn't always take them on her, because we had to go up the town and then change bus, and then get on the express bus to Kincardine, and they didn't always take them.
We must have been too close.
Yeah.
Oh, you could totally walk to your house.
Yeah. No, but we still got the bus.
Yeah.
But they are good, useful too, if you can get a hold of a load of them.
And you're under 16.
Yeah.
Memories.
Those are the days.
Yeah. I remember like taking the time off to do that protest for the Afghan War, like 2005. But like we had no clue why we were doing it, and we could not be fucked for actually protesting. We were one of those folk that were just like, fuck it, let's go to Subway. I don't even know what we did actually. I think we went to like Riley's and played pool for like most of that day. It's like, oh, we're going to protest. All right, fine. Because we got the all clear. Like, if you want to go, you can go. That's fine. And we're like, so we can leave and not go to class. We can just leave. Yeah. Bye.
Apparently,
we didn't even think about it. We just left.
Apparently schools are pretty mental now about kids like taking the last day off. Whereas we took like the two last days.
I know. We
organized
a
minibus.
Week.
We organized a minibus to go to the beach to Aberdour.
Yeah.
And Mr. Gardner and a few, I can't remember who else, but a few other teachers waved us off to go away. Maybe they weren't like waving us off, but they were there in front of us. Like, there's three of them. Mr. Gardner, I can't remember us, but they were like, see you later, guys. As we were drinking on the minibus.
But it's that sort of thing. It's like, nothing happens in the last days of school. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
So why are people losing their heads over it? Or have things changed? Are they now working them to the bone right to the last day?
It is weird. Like, I remember when I finished school, like...
I don't know any young people. Can't just looking at me like I would know. It's like, I literally don't know any... I don't know anyone under the age of 18 at all. Yeah. But we don't know anyone under the age of 25, to be honest. So don't ask me. Yeah.
Fair dues.
I don't even know if they do like muck up days and things like that anymore.
Like, no, that's what I mean. And like, yeah.
We never did muck up
We did.
Nah,
we had some
did
good ones.
We didn't do it as hard.
Markham Day was all Neighbours. Like, that's nah, the only was, time I got.
It was bigger at Queen Anne.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah. We did some impressive things. I remember when I was at school at Queen Anne, like, we just did stuff like that we'd usually do. Like, hide people's stuff in the roof tiles.
Yeah.
Classic. Classic. Oh, I loved doing that. But one time I was, when I was at school, someone at Queen Anne, they'd put out a class, you know, they had the porta huts before me was built.
God, so
yeah.
They the put out, yeah, on the roof.
Put yeah. out, laid it out perfectly on the roof of the porta cabin,
not,
which is pretty good.
Was that not, it was either, that was my year or the year above
yeah,
us?
Yeah, it was your year of a year. Yeah, that sounds yeah. about right.
Because I remember that being a huge thing, and I remember like teachers from Queen Anne being it because it was the old school yeah, yeah absolutely yeah. So it must have been like our year because I think the new school was built just like
that.
After
that's
that
that's all
yeah.
houses now that's how old we are
but like there was a teacher when I was here who actually had the cutout of like from the newspaper of that article. It was in Pride of Place ready to go. But a fun fact about the current school, the current Queen Anne High School, because I saw it with my own two eyes, is you can fit a Mini Cooper through the halls of that school because someone managed to drive their Mini Cooper through one bit of the corridor and just drive it along a little bit through the corridor.
Was that one of the students?
Yeah, it was a student.
Okay, so I'd just like to point out the difference between Queen Anne and Dunfermline High is that not only did Queen Anne's students drive to school, but they drove to school in a Mini Cooper. Oh!
There was one that drove in
We were still getting a Rennie's bus.
We had some that drove in like BMWs and shit. I was like, how the fuck are you paying
yeah.
for that?
Yeah, that's Queen Anne.
Yeah, that's Queen
that's,
Anne.
That's people out
folks.
In the nice villages,
yeah,
big houses.
But like, they must.
I remember going to. Actually, no, I did once. I remember once driving to school in Lizzie's. And Lizzie's
Renault 5.
Three-door Renault 5, which one of the doors
that
didn't
was barely
work.
A car.
Because she, in fact, it was the driver door didn't work because she crashed it into a tee. You had to climb over the passenger seat
yep.
to get in. yeah, that's the sort of shit that we went down at Dunfermline High because we were keeping it real.
So we put classrooms on roofs, we put Mini Coopers through corridors, then someone had the bright idea of getting three goats, putting one, two and four, and then setting them loose in the school. So they found the first three and everyone was still trying to find number three. It was just like, you're never going to find three, there was only three goats in the first place. But just these little bits of creativity, I was like, fuck me. We never got to do it because like, we got told, if you try anything for Muck Up Day, we'll be pressing charges. Like, well, we're going to just skive then.
Which is what we did at
yeah,
the same time.
That's
the same.
That's
we went down to the beach and got rat arsed.
Yeah, yeah.
We were just too steaming to do this.
I think every year the police would come down and just be like, you guys, you all right? They're all right.
Yeah. Well,
so, yeah.
But good, well done, good luck, climate strikers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Fighting power,
yeah.
I think of.
Even though clearly no one on the age of 25 listens to this programme, but
you
we're
never
with
know.
You
never know.
We're
this could be the show where, like, the whole teenage, they're like, ah, oh, these guys, they were
no.
like us once
no.
they were kids.
No, it won't.
No. Nah. We know our demographic. People who went to school in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Millennials, and have some connection
basically,
to Fife.
Yeah. You can all relate to the fact that Radio 2 is now Radio 1 from 2005.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Wow. So I think, kind of, we've got a little bit more time. Just a little bit briefly, me and you went to see a film last
yeah.
Friday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Aye.
Did you invite us out to see this film?
Mags, would you like to come and see Captain Marvel?
No, but I'd like I'd like an invite. I'd like to think that you thought about
yeah.
me. If I ever go to the cinema in Dunfermline, I message you guys to see if you want to come to the
in
cinema.
In that case, I blame Kutch because he asked me.
Yeah, no, I basically went, to Kirsty, do you want to go see Captain Marvel? She went, that'd be splendid. And I went, I'll probably just say to Jamie. Yeah.
Not so, the rest of us. Like,
no,
that's fine. That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I'm just going to, just so you know, I'm just going to express my disappointment by staying silent for the rest of this segment.
Very good. So, yeah, Captain Marvel, your thoughts, Jamie?
Aye, so for listeners who might not know, it's the first female-fronted Marvel film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based in the 90s. And I liked it. I just think I read something about it afterwards and I thought, oh, that sums it up. I thought it was good. But it sort of it fails at what it's trying to do a little bit. But that's only because it's been quite ambitious in what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of it where I think we talked about this afterwards, where it's like some of it looks like the 90s, but not in a good way, like in the terms of a camera work. Yeah. But it doesn't quite pull it off, and it just feels weird because it's digital, but it's like...
There's a little bit of...
The framing's a little bit 90s, but it just feels a bit...
It's a little
naff.
Bit Power Rangers.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's meant to be like that. It's meant to be like that.
Yeah, but I don't get... Yeah.
But yeah, like what you say, I don't think it kind of pulled off all that well. Yeah, no, like I thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, like what you're saying there is that they, you know, they tried to do something quite ambitious and it didn't quite pay off. I think also the problem with it is that it's a middle film between two massive stories in that universe at the moment. You know, it's that isn't related directly to them. Yeah. So you've got the hype building for Avengers Endgame, which is the, you know, culmination of 22 films, 10 years of this universe building, the kind of proper first time this has ever happened in cinema and in Hollywood. This film was probably always going to have that problem of if it didn't quite hit the hype train,
then it's
going to struggle. I think it might have come off better if it had been on either side of those films, but sort of being wedged in the middle.
Yeah,
for the fact that she is to be a tentpole character in this last film. But then that's why they did it in the 90s as well, because they were able to ignore absolutely all everything that's going on.
Just another big story coming out of this film is that Trolls.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, like scored it and said they were boycotting it and all this, and gave it really bad Rotten Tomato scores and all that. And but I want to read you a little bit here about how well it did. So it pulled in $153 million domestic in the States, $454 million worldwide. And just to put that in perspective, the movie's worldwide opening weekend is the sixth largest in history.
Yeah.
Worldwide. And the second largest for a Marvel film aside from Infinity War.
Yeah.
Infinity War.
Yeah.
Domestically, Captain Marvel scored Marvel's seventh largest opening weekend. It's also scored Marvel's second largest domestic opening weekend for a film that isn't a sequel or an Avengers team up behind Black Panther. Mm-hmm. So it's just absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
In spite of these idiots trying to
bring it down, yeah.
Yeah, just because it's fronted by a woman.
Yeah, that's it. And it actually made, Rotten Tomatoes change their whole scoring system because they allowed people to give things scores as a sort of running hype.
Yeah, before
they saw it, and now they've just gone, actually, you know what, there's too many idiots out there, so what we're going to do now
Would you give user scores before release? It doesn't make sense anyway.
It's now user scores after release.
Yeah.
And there's still been a campaign to try and bring it down, and it's not working,
obviously failed.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Good things about that film that I really enjoyed is young Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Young Nick Fury, Sam Jackson.
I knew you meant.
The youngify technology that Marvel and Disney have been pushing for some time now, they've kind of nailed it. Yeah.
I thought his hair looked a little bit like an Action Man. But when I first saw it, but then after that, I just forgot about it.
That's it. I think I'd said to you as well, like for the first few minutes, because I knew that he'd been digitally youngified, I was aware of it and I could see bits of it. But after a minute or two, I forgot about it.
This kicks the shit out of like things like in the Tron film.
Oh, yeah.
Where they did it, you know, that was like a... It looked good, but it was a bit dodgy. Yeah. Whereas this kicks a shit out of that. Like,
absolutely, yeah. It looks really good, and even like they had Clark Gregg, Phil Coulson. They had a young version of him, although he didn't. I don't think he needed youngified all that much because he hasn't really changed. again, there was one or two moments with him. I don't think they maybe spent as much time or money, or if they didn't have as much reference for him, because a lot of it's based on old reference footage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was one or two bits where he was maybe not as good, but you know what?
I really liked a lot of it. Like, I like Brie Larson, but like it felt... I really liked her performance. I really liked her mate. I can't remember her name. I liked what they did with the baddies, with the Skrulls, which we won't talk about.
No.
Yeah, I thought it was just good overall. I just thought
the buddy cop
it didn't kind quite of work.
Or the buddy cop type road trip stuff with her and Fury.
Yeah.
I thought worked really well. The kind of playoff. See, I enjoyed that a lot.
I might enjoy it more in the second watch. I'm like that a lot of films. But anyway.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. Go see it. If you like Marvel films, you'll probably like it.
You will enjoy
it. If you don't, that's the difference, though.
Yeah.
It isn't like, say, Guardians of the Galaxy, where I could say to people who don't like Marvel films, oh, you'll like this, because it's just a decent film. I don't quite feel like that about this.
But. No. And I think that's the thing, is that this is very much so part of a wider story.
Yeah.
It looks great. It's fun, entertaining, and we've now got what, less than a month to Endgame, and that's the
big. Have you seen the new trailer?
Yeah,
it looks so good.
Yeah, I'm gonna enjoy the show of that film. Absolutely.
Are you done with this boring segment yet?
I think so.
Yeah, why not?
I just switch off as soon as you start talking about comic books for children.
Not for children.
Boring, sorry.
Max, you're coming out quite sharp tonight.
Come to my house, I fed you, now I get to be honest.
Fair dues. So, do we have anything else?
Should we have a wee chat about last week?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, should we talk about last week?
Whiskey Fest.
I'd like to apologise for being completely inarticulate about whiskey. And I haven't listened back to it, but from what I remember, being completely inarticulate about whiskey in the podcast, and then me and Ralph going around in like the last hour or so, try loads of castrated whiskeys, and I was waxing lyrical about how great this whiskey is for whatever reason, and I just could. And on the podcast, I'm like, yeah, this is smooth.
Yeah, we got a lot of smooth and creamy.
Those are words.
Creamy, bodied.
Creamy's not so bad. Smooth is overused.
I love my first in bit reviews. Of insight. It was like, so James, what are you drinking? That one. That was the highlight. That was like, oh yeah, so that clearly explains what you've been drinking.
In fairness, it was an absolute banging day.
It was a lovely day.
Oh, fantastic.
You know what? I love these events. That's now my third like whiskey fest. And being able to go and chat with in some cases, the folk that are making it. If not them, their brand representatives who are entrenched, they love that whiskey or the brand that's coming out with it, and they are so open to talking to us and telling you a bit about it, giving you a bit of background information, kind of taking you through that step-by-step guide to what it is that you're tasting and where it's coming from.
I met so it was great talking to all those people, and especially the guys from from a lot of the places were great,
yeah,
but especially guys from like Kilkerran and Springbank,
yeah,
they were like really, you know, you could tell they were just whiskey drinkers,
yeah,
fantastic. Of a Kilkerran, but oh, so many delicious whiskey. Loch Lomond,
yeah,
Loch Lomond was one that wasn't on my radar before, and now it is.
Inchmore in 1992, we all talked about
oh my lordy,
god, that was a whiskey.
But I also met a guy who's a big YouTube. Well, his channel's getting bigger. Like a Scottish guy does Aquavite.
Yeah.
He does like virtual, he calls it V-Pub. And it's like, it's like what we do sometimes in Facebook groups where people are like, hey, what are you drinking tonight? It's like drinking with strangers on the internet.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. But on a YouTube thing. But
how does he do it via YouTube? Does he have like...
He has a group chat. No, he has like a group chat.
Like a live
whiskey.
Feed.
He talks about whiskey. Okay. He talks to people about whiskey and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to him. And to the Whiskey Rover, Jason, who have been reading for years, he's on malt now. And I can remember most of my other conversations that day, what I said. Can't remember much of what I said to them. I almost certainly embarrassed myself. Two guys, I really like what they say about whiskey and how they think about whiskey. I probably completely fannied
it. And did you not think to try and grab them and talk to us?
No. Well, this was when I was going about with Ralph, and I kept saying to Ralph, oh, I need to go record more. And Ralph would say, oh, but...
here's a person, cask strength.
This person has this. I was like, oh my good God, we need to try that.
Did you pre-drink? or did you
No.
And you've managed to get that steam in.
To be fair, we did have a hippie wee bit of a proper.
We had a tiny,
not a lot, yeah.
A tiny bit of a hip flask. No, like you're going in, right? And so what happens is you go in with the best intentions of I'm going to try that one from there and that one from there, and then I'm going to try that one from there because I want to try those. And then you go up to the first guys. Where did we go first?
Daft Mill,
where we were getting just a little bit because...
It's his personal stock.
It's his personal stock. They don't have a lot. So it was like literally just a tasting. After that, we went to Deanston.
Yeah, and Dave went in with a secret password.
They had a secret password. We went in with that.
Hang on a minute.
To get stuff beneath, like, a special bottle.
Where do you get the secret password from?
So it was on their Twitter. So they put it up on their Twitter.
On the way, okay.
And okay. I'd been keeping an eye on, like, all the Fife whiskies.
That was a highlight of the day. Deanston French Oak.
Yeah.
So nice.
It was really
nice.
So good.
They're in Glasgow, aren't they, Deanston?
No.
Deanston's in Deanston.
Isn't it Glasgow?
No, the Deanston Distillery is in the village of Deanston next to Doon in Stirling.
All right, okay.
It's like 250 years old, the Deanston. It's a really old, cool building because there's half of the village of Deanston is all distillery cottages and they're all like really nice old kind of Victorian cottages and stuff built for the distillery.
Maybe I'm getting Deanston mixed up with another distillery in my head. I was sure they were Glasgow.
Deaniston is a part of
Yeah, I know Deaniston's a place of Glasgow, but I was sure... There's someone who's building a new distillery in Glasgow. Anyway.
Yeah. There's a lot of really nice whiskies. They're also generous with their whiskies.
But this is the thing, yeah, is that like when we went to Deanston, we had the French Oak, and then there was like two others that they gave. And the measure of the French Oak that I was given was like a 50ml measure.
Those guys, because that's the Boone and Haven boys as well, wasn't it? Yeah. And they were giving us crazy Boone and Haven measures as well.
Yeah, and like...
Do they have bottles for sale? Do they try and get you to buy them?
Yeah, but it's
so
from...
Yeah, so I was like, can I get you drunk? Please buy my whiskey.
It's not from them directly. It's from the official retailer, Louvians, who are shopping...
Shop at the festival this year.
Yeah, but... Yeah, like I say, they'll take you through a journey. It's like, oh, I want to try that. So you try it, and then they go, well, try it against this one. And then, we've got this one as well.
So you're doing like at least three, maybe four or five.
And you might, sometimes they might only be 50ml measures, but when you've done three or four of them at 65% cask strength.
Yeah.
So what do you think for people going next year?
Uh-huh.
What should your strategy be?
Eat well before you go.
Definitely.
Like your stomach. Yeah.
I mean, definitely eat well is a key to it. And The problem is that
the reason why these festivals are great is that we go because we want to try lots of things.
Yeah.
I said to the Penrhyd guy, which is a Welsh whisky, he's like, look, I've always wanted to try Penrhyd, but I've never wanted to commit to a bottle before.
Yeah.
Before I tried it. And that's why they're great. Uh-huh. But at the same time, because of that, especially if you're a bit into whiskey and you're like, oh, I think Kilkerran have this new heavy peated version coming out. We should go try that. And then it's like, oh, are they have something really good at Boone and Haven? Oh, they don't have the new one yet. Oh, but they have something else. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Let's try that. And like different ones that you want to see. Oh, they've got new make spirit. Oh, I'll try that. See, and compare it to your whiskey when it comes out.
And
so
then
it's not, no
before
one's,
you know it, you're completely fucked.
No one's going there to... No one's going there to get pissed. They're going there to try lots of whiskies, which unfortunately...
The side effect of that is getting rattles. And I think that's where we need to kind of touch upon is we came out of there.
Oh, dear Lord.
Now, last year, I think we all fared pretty well. We went on into the evening. We went back to Dave's. We did a bit more recording.
Did you all lose each other last year at one point?
Maybe, but
briefly.
We went to the pub and had drinks in the pub afterwards, and then we went home and had drinks, and it was a full day, and it was really good. This year, however, we came out, and I mean, I'd had probably about 15 or 16, but I'd been doing a lot of recording, so a lot of chatting and stuff.
You expend a lot of energy when you're chatting.
I wasn't drinking as much.
You drink less. Whereas if you're me and Ralph, you have a little bit of chat with someone, but you're not interviewing them.
Yeah.
So you just have a little bit of chat, talk to them. Oh, yeah. Oh,
so less chat, more drink.
No, more chat.
Yeah,
less
I
drink.
Feel like I was drinking more because I was talking to them for longer. Like, because I was trying different whiskies because I'm like, I try this. how about this? How about this? And then take this. Like, that's like last year, I just felt like I wasn't drinking as much for this year.
But yeah,
you shouldn't do is be a 50-year-old man, because there were a couple of stalls who took a look at me and Ralph and went, "Oh, you're not our market because you're not a 50-year-old man." But and we definitely, especially Ralph, because he actually has money to spend on whiskey, and he spends a lot of money on whiskey. And but
this
we said
man
that
has a drinks cabinet.
It was so clear that was our attitude to us. Yeah. But it was, and we weren't that. You know, we weren't completely. I actually felt fine until I woke up in Inverkeithen, just before Inverkeithen on the train, and I was like,
so
I felt okay because we were talking about going back to Ralph's. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's go do that. And then I fell asleep and woke up, and I was like, I'm going to be sick.
Well, that's the thing. We got to the train station and like got on the train, and as we're sitting on the train, I'm sort of feeling like, yeah, no, I'm in a good place. Like, I could go out and have some more drinks, some food. Let's do this.
You were giving it the biggin. You were like,
let's go for food and stuff. And it was like, yeah, sure. And then on the train, I just sat and watched all of yous wilt.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know what happened. It was like
Dave jumped up and ran to the toilet and spent 20 minutes having some kind of odyssey in the toilets.
You were asleep for most of it, Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie.
I felt fine before I went to sleep, but when I woke up, the woman across from me was this close to getting violently sick on.
Ralph was having like several existential crises across from me. You started getting naked.
No, I switched shirts. That's like I was
just like, what the fuck?
Because I had like
he's taking his top off.
You got naked on the train.
Well, I had like an undershirt on under my Fife Club T-shirt, which I wore proud, and I was like fucking roasting. I was like, nah, I'm gonna have to just take this off. There's a nice wee lady who's knitting. I've never seen anyone look so intently at their knitting in all my life. When I've just had to swap my shirt, take both shirts off to put one T-shirt on so I wasn't roasting. Yeah. I was like, I'm so sorry.
You got David on the train.
Then we got to Inverkeithen.
The disappointing sequel to Snakes on a Train. Snakes on a Plane, sorry.
Yeah, then we got to Inverkeithen, and as we got off, so Dave like re-emerged from the toilet and then hid himself at the door and looked white. Like, he just looked so white.
I have a very strong image of Dave putting his head over the fence in Inverkeithen station and being sick.
He literally ran off the train.
Into the barn.
Yeah, ran off the train and was holding himself up over the fence. Breathing. Yeah. All I could hear was him going.
Oh my god!
Whereas I just went, see you later, guys. I'm going home.
It was like, I'm getting a taxi. I'm going home. And it was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah.
No, cut you. I'll go. We'll go for a night. You know, go back to Ralph's and blah blah blah. And I was like, nope, going home. See you later.
And then standing at.
Can I just ask? What time was this at?
About five. Yeah.
So we're apologising to everybody who was on the train at about 5 o'clock.
Last year, we went out. Was fine, and you know, after the Edinburgh one,
I don't remember much after Edinburgh, but
no. But we went to.
We've got the video evidence, though, guys, that it happened.
Went to a few pubs, and then, but this one, I just. For some reason, I don't know what it was. I just felt sick.
Well, that's like, it. Everybody. Well, we got to like say Inverkeithen, Dave over. You went home, sitting at the platform waiting on the train to Dunfermline Rosyth, and Dave sitting looking like he has absolutely given up on everything. Then James turns around and starts spewing on the platform.
Don't give me any of your excuses.
You spewed on the platform
once.
No, once. No, multiple times.
Oh, did it once?
It was a multiple spew. And at that point, I was just like, I'm not sure I want anything.
I think I told you to fuck off as well because you said something about me spewing. I was like, fuck you,
Ralph, again, still sitting questioning life. And I was like, so are we going to go into town? And it was just like, nah, going home. I was just like, oh, fuck it, I'm walking
home.
Straight back home.
This sounds a bit like, what do you call it? Who's the guy that does the paintings of like drunken scenes?
I know who you mean.
This is a crap line because I should have remembered before I started saying it.
In my defense, apart from switching the shirts and apart from spewing on the platform, I felt fine. There was that, was it.
I mean,
that
people was, around that, you didn't know James. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. All they saw, around me just all went, they saw was some I'm really gonna, broken people and then you spewing.
I'm not going to lie. Like, outside of my periphery while I spewed, I'm pretty sure I saw two girls run into the other platform. Like, literally ran from, like, you know where the sort of the ticket office is in Inverkeithen?
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm pretty sure I saw them run up the stairs, across the platform to get to the other side as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Did you like make it to like the corner? Did you like go just the platform?
Yeah. I made this mistake. Did of,
you
like,
go? If I was with you, I'm going to be honest. If I was with you and you'd been sitting on the platform, I would have made you go to the ticket office and ask for a bucket of water to clean it up.
Nah,
we've all been there. We've all been in public.
I just accepted my shame.
But if you do it like on a train platform, you should go get a bucket of water.
I was absolutely grand after that. Because like I got the taxi back with Dave and Ralph, and I got dropped off at East End Park. I was like, walking away, like, oh, it's feeling pretty good.
I walked home and then ordered
my dinner on the way, and I was like, look, I was like, big smile on my face. Got home, got myself, I timed it perfectly, so I got home, my tea rights. Was like, yeah, it was like nothing happened. It was really weird.
It did.
I felt bad because I'd had such a good day, and then I felt like for no reason I just felt ill. But the festival itself was brilliant. Yeah. I had a great time.
Yeah, this isn't a great advert for the festival.
No, talking about how sick you all were. But last year we were fine and met lots of people, had lots of great whiskey. Unlike this is a problem. So the other whiskey festivals I've been to, I only remember a few of the whiskeys. And I can't remember the taste. This year I can remember all the taste.
Even though
it's the worst I've been, even though I felt sick after. What's that? That's strange.
Maybe it was just the time of day.
Maybe it was our banter.
By the way, we should.
But I think like you hit the nail on the head, Jamie, is that these events, you're not like we talked about how, you know, it was like Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And it's not because we're going to get drunk.
No.
It's because,
that's not even in my head at all.
It is
just kind of discover.
But then I think generally that tends to be our approach to a lot of like going out and drinking and stuff, is that there's not necessarily the, sometimes it is absolutely let's go get drunk.
But you want a tasty pint.
Yeah. I just want to have something tasty and I want some good chat.
Yeah.
And it's same with whiskey.
Or tasty dram. Yeah.
And again, I think we all associate like good pints and good drinks.
Yeah,
with
try new
good,
beers wherever you're going with, and all that.
Yeah, and good chat and friendship and, you know, it's all that kind of thing. And I think
whiskey friends.
Something like the Whiskey Fringe, or the Whiskey Fest, the Fife Whiskey Fest. They are great things for people that absolutely love spirits and love the experience and the, you know, everything that comes with it, not just the alcohol.
So when's our next Fife Club day out?
Oh, it's going to be in 2 weeks' time.
What's that for?
It's for the Dunfermline Comic Con.
We've featured that before, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of good funding.
I think there's still tickets, so you should go get them. You can buy them in store for £10 cash. Or you can go to littleshopofheroes.co.uk or dunfermlinecomiccon.co.uk.
It's going to be so good to see that Comic Con happen, especially after last year. Mm. I think it's going to be a nice, like, a little more brevity.
Looks like there's plenty of folk going to be there as well, and we'll be there. Come chat to us if you are there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just make a wee mention? We bumped into the Coaltown Daisies where we were at the Whiskey Festival. Well, as we're leaving the Whiskey Festival, we met them.
They were about to go into the next session. Yeah.
And there's a couple of photos of like us, and I'm sure there's a couple of them with just a look of terror on their faces, like, what did we talk about when we were in the pub? So sorry if we terrified you at all. I remember getting hugs, and then I remember trying to leave the pub with a pint, got out the pub, returned because I thought you lost your bag, we thought it was the pub. Someone stopped me from taking my pint out, went out, came back in again. He's like, oh, can I finish that pint? I've put it at the bar. Ah, no worries, pal. Thanks for that. Anyway, they were just...
Yeah, I noticed there was a picture of you like wandering about Cooper High Street with a pint in your hand. I was like...
It's a real...
Right.
Wow. We shouldn't be allowed back to Cooper, let's be real.
No. But yeah, like... Absolutely. Let's do Comic-Con 2 weeks' time. And next week...
Oh, yes.
Fife fans, it's episode 100. Oh. And we want you to contact us so we can contact you.
God, this is getting complicated.
I'm pointing at you like Lord Kitchener.
Okay, no, I'm going to do it better. Do you want to be on the podcast?
Yes.
Is what Kutch is saying.
And come talk to us and give us a Fight Club, give us something to take to the island. Just come and have a chat with us.
Come talk to us. So don't
we want
to
chat to
other
our
anymore.
Fans.
But not in person.
100.
Are they doing it over the phone?
Skype.
Over Skype, because I don't want to meet like real people in real life.
Like, she's scared of your cooties, Fife fans.
I am. I don't want to get cooties, to be honest. Like, I've just recovered. I was basically ill for the first 2 months of the year. I'm feeling good at the moment. I've got a half marathon to do soon, so I can't get ill. So I don't want to meet real people.
Yeah, no.
But I'm up for chatting to people on Skype and taking their suggestions.
And having some chat, yeah. So we've got some folk. We've still got a few slots to fill. So, you know, if you want to come chat to us, get in contact and we will organise it. It will probably be the Sunday, the 24th of March that we'll be doing it. So it will be early evening time. So yeah, like I say, get in contact and we will set that up. Yeah.
If you want to get in contact with us, and you can do that on our website, www.fiveclub.co.uk, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram fiveclub, Twitter @fiveclub, and Facebook, facebook.com/fiveclubpod, or just fucking Google it.
We're on the way to the whiskey festival. Then Ralph googled it, and we were like the second thing on Google.
Nah, we're the top thing on Google.
Yeah, we're one of the top things on Google. Because yeah,
I've made sure if you look for Fight Club, we're top.
Can I just ask? Because I'm not going through this palaver again.
Okay.
Is somebody baking a cake for the 100th episode? Because I've baked a cake and I've made a fucking lasagna.
Well, Cutch just told us he's going to make us dinner.
Yeah,
for the 100th.
I've told you I'm going to make you dinner. Yeah.
That's good. Cutch is doing dinner. I will rescind what I just said about fans not being invited. Fans can come if they bake a cake. You're welcome to bring us cake. That's all good.
You're not getting my address though.
We'll give you a nondescript location.
Well, I suppose it brings us to that time of the night where I do have to ask Mags, what's the motto this week?
Yes, because I never knew what to say.
Yes. If you're sick on a train station platform, be a sound cunt and clean it up.
James. Good night.
Bye.
Fuck you. Good night.